Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your word, the Bible. And we pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit amongst us today, it will be a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths. Bring glory to our Lord Jesus in us, we pray. Amen. Does your life matter? Does your life matter? And why, if you think it does? Perhaps someone might say, no, I struggle for meaning. Or another might say, yes, my life matters. I'm the mother of three wonderful, little painy children. Or another might say, well, of course, I'm a respected manager in my workplace. Or another, maybe younger person would say, not yet, but I'm going to be a star, you wait. Or someone else, well, my life will, because you can do anything if you put your mind to it. What about you? Does your life matter? Where are you looking for meaning in your life? Hosea's message from God to the people he was speaking to about 700 years before Jesus was they were constantly looking in the wrong place. Constantly looking in the wrong place. How would their harvests be blessed? How would they have a comfortable existence? How would they know peace with God? How would they have safety from war and conflict? Every time they went somewhere other than God. They went to Baal, the Canaanite deity, for their harvests, or they thought they did anyway. They went to corruption and crime for their comfort. They went to little idols for peace, little model people they could stand on their windows, on their shelves. And then they went to the mighty Assyria or Egypt for safety. Every time they went the wrong way. There's only one place to go, says Hosea. And in every way, what he will do is better. There will be complete forgiveness, greater flourishing. Your lives will be more fruitful if you go to the loving, compassionate, powerful, gracious, just and fair Lord God. And Hosea's question to us today is, are we making the same mistake? Are we making the same mistake? Are we looking everywhere else for what matters in life except for Jesus? Except to Jesus. I've got three F's for us in our points. In fact, six, because each one has two. I've done really well today as we look through this chapter in Hosea. So the first, with verses 1 to 4, is free forgiveness from Jesus. Three F's, wow. Free forgiveness from Jesus. Oh, I put through on the screen and it didn't fit in the box. Oh well, there we go. Never mind. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. That God offers to restore relationships with you because he's destroyed with justice the barrier, the separating barrier of your sin. Now obviously Hosea wrote before Jesus came to earth. But what he describes here in this chapter and in the rest of the book is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. Have a look at verse 1. Once again, Israel, the nation, the northern part of the kingdom, is called back to God. They've been stumbling and they've tripped up. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. And sins there, the word is a really powerful word. It's the same word that we get as iniquity in that verse, Isaiah 53, verse 6. That we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's a strong rebellion against God with desires going everywhere except for God. That's the sin that has been their downfall, their iniquity. And then verse 2, they're encouraged, as we thought last week, to go back to God with words. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Words they're to take, not sacrifices, nor deeds. This is because a relationship needs restoring, their relationship with God. Which words should they take? Well, words of simple, honest acceptance that they've gone the wrong way. And very specific words about how. Verse 3. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We'll never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. And so they get a wonderful, wonderful promise from God, out of his grace. Verse 4, he speaks, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. How can God forgive them? The answer is his love and justice. And we'll see this in the passage. His love, which is undeserved, but is there in his steadfast covenant relationship with them, steadfast faithfulness. And his justice, which we saw last week, Hosea 13, the week before rather, which will be the coming of the Syrian army in judgment. And so sin will be able to be forgiven, because God will have judged them for it. And ultimately, this love and justice and this forgiveness comes to us today in the cross of Jesus. But we also have sinned, and there have been our downfall. We've stumbled because of our iniquity. I guess we all set standards for ourselves, don't we, in how we live? You do that, yeah? How well do you do at keeping your own standards? Not very well, I think, if you're like most people. Then what about God's standards? We're way short, aren't we? And so like them, we need to take words with us and go back to God. Is he the one, the God of love, where the fatherless find compassion? Well, yes, we see it in Jesus, don't we? Wonderfully. And these great words from 1 John. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Yes, Jesus offers himself. And as Paul wrote in Galatians 2, I, he says, have been crucified with Christ. This is the result of trusting Jesus. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is where we see the love of God. And contrast our selfishness and sinfulness with his love. In our sinful selfishness, we seek our fulfillment at the cost of others. And in his deep and wonderful love, he seeks our rescue at his cost, in his death. And so justice is done on the cross, and forgiveness is possible. And he can say, as in verse 4, my anger has turned away from them. How? Well, not because Assyrian armies have taken it all and done it, but because Jesus has taken our place on the cross. Imagine a mother seeing her an adult child suffering from coronavirus, which has happened around the world. Will probably happen here. Would she not be thinking, watching her adult child, maybe in their 20s or something, if only I could take his place, if only I could suffer that instead of him, if only I could have the disease instead? And that's the love of Jesus. He knew, as the just judge, what we deserve and should suffer. And so he said, not just if only I could take it, but he said, I will take it on the cross and suffer for them. So Peter said in 1 Peter 2 about Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. Healed of our sinful, selfish lives. So there is free forgiveness. And we see today that it is through Jesus. It's amazing. God offers to restore relationships with us, because he's destroyed with justice the separating barrier of our sin. So do we hear Hosea's call? Do we see the love of God? Return to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall, verse 1. I wonder if you worry whether God accepts you. I wonder where you're looking for peace. Maybe crystals or meditation or whale sounds or something. No, verse 4. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them on the cross of Jesus. That's how accepted you are. That's where it's turned for peace. Free forgiveness through Jesus. And that's not all. There's also future flourishing in Jesus. Verses 5-7. And again, this is wonderful. God promises abundant life and blessing, which is fulfilled and can be ours in Jesus one day. These promises are to Israel in verses 5-7. And it's wonderful, beautiful poetry. Again, we've had this throughout the book, haven't we? Some amazing phrases and poetry. And in verse 5, there's a kind of a mirror of their sin, only it's positive to their negative. So, I will be like the dew to Israel. Do you remember how dew was used, D-E-W, before in the book? Well, their love for God was like the morning dew that evaporates. And then when they judged, they were going to be like dew that vanishes. But now, it's going to be the dew of refreshment from a loving Creator. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. And then do you remember back in chapter 2, all that time ago, we saw that they were seeking fruitfulness in harvests from the local Canaanite god, Baal. And what did they want from him? Well, it was about their olives and their grain and their wine. Chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 6, his splendor, this is Israel, people who rebelled against God. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. They'll flourish like the corn, where you get grain from. They'll blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Now this is God's abundant blessing to them, where they had turned away from him before. They're truly going to flourish. It's amazing. But when will they flourish? And the answer is the future. It's going to be in the future. It won't be the people that Hosea is directly speaking to. And we know that because they didn't repent. And they were facing God's justice from chapter 13 and before. We know also it's not later Israel. And we know that from the benefit of hindsight. But we do know that this is wonderfully fulfilled again in the Lord Jesus. Think back to chapter 11. Out of Israel, out of Egypt, I called my son, said the Lord. And it was looking forward to Jesus being the fulfillment of Israel and the perfect Israel, the obedient son of God. And now this flourishing will be in him, in the true Israel, Jesus. Verse 7, people will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like the corn. They'll blossom like the vine. The true Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. It'll be in Jesus. This is a picture of heaven. Through his death and resurrection, we'll be able to dwell in his shade, enjoy his presence, blossom with him forever. So where are we looking for blessing or meaning? What is the blessing that we're longing for? There are many good things that God has given us in this creation, but none of them are where true blessing is to be found. Or I want to be a star. Well, maybe you do want to be a star, but it's going to be as tough being a star as it is being a teacher. And whether you're a star or a teacher or anything else, Jesus is where flourishing is to be found. His splendor, his fragrance, his shade, he is where you'll blossom. And Jesus has prepared this for us, and he's waiting to give it to us and for us to enjoy his presence. Where is the meaning we seek? How do we answer the question, do I really matter? Well, in Jesus, the answer is yes, you really matter. Not because you're a mother with three lovely kids, or because you're a manager at work, but because you're a child of the Father. Jesus' brother or sister, indwelt by the Spirit of God. You have an inheritance guaranteed for you because of Jesus. And the words of Ephesians 1:3 I opened the service with. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Yes, he is the true Israel who fulfills these wonderful words. Future flourishing in Jesus. This is wonderful. God promises abundant life and blessing, which is fulfilled and can be ours in Jesus one day. So there's free forgiveness through Jesus. There's future flourishing in Jesus. And the passage ends, find your fruitfulness with Jesus. Find fruitfulness with Jesus. Where will we turn? Where will we turn for having a life that matters? The answer is only Jesus works. Hosea ends his book and this passage with a stark challenge for the people he's been speaking to on God's behalf. It's a compact summary, the whole book almost, in a couple of words. Where will they find fruitfulness? This is the challenge. For them, they were thinking about their harvests, about grain and wine and oil. What are they going to do to get abundance in these things? And all the way through the book, the answer, God's answer is, verse 8, Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Google juniper trees, they're quite stunning, some of them. Big, and imagine with little berries all over them, with the fruitfulness of a juniper tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me, says Yahweh, the Lord. It's a bit like finding loo roll in a supermarket, isn't it? You go to, I don't know, I'm not going to name one because I'll get sued, a supermarket up the road and the shelves are empty. Don't go there for your loo roll. Go to another one where the shelves are packed with loo roll. And Hosea says to the people, you've been looking in the wrong place, not for your loo roll, but for your fruitfulness. God is like this juniper tree of berries. That line, your fruitfulness comes from me. It's a massive challenge to them. And so what should they do? Well, who is wise? Verse 9. Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them. But the rebellious stumble in them. And that stumble word is the same word from the downfall word in verse 1. It's like bookends to this passage, bringing it to a completion. Where then will we turn for having a life that matters? Where do we find fruitfulness? For us, it's not harvest, is it? So we're looking for grain or wine or oil now. But we are saying, where can I have a good life? Where can I find value and meaning? What can I do so that I'm hashtag blessed? Yeah? And we can see it in what we tell our children, or our nephews or nieces, the next generation, perhaps what we tell ourselves. Find your value in work, or in activism, or find it in family. Seek your dreams. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. And maybe these are good things. But to steal a phrase from someone else, don't let a good thing become a God thing. Don't let a good thing become a God thing. Don't take these things of God's creation and package them up and stick them on your shelf and say, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship family. I'm going to worship activism. I'm going to worship my work. What is the point in being a great footballer one day and having a big house if you've not got Jesus? What is the point of having a successful university career, a six-figure salary, and no Jesus? What is the point of slaving away from 6 o'clock in the morning every day at the cleaning and having no Jesus? But with Jesus, I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me, says the Lord. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Where will we turn for having a life that matters? Only Jesus works. Let's find our fruitfulness with Jesus. So does your life matter? And why? Well, I wonder if we're making the same mistake as Hosea's people all those years ago, looking everywhere else except to the one place we should be looking. And God's message through Hosea is there's only one place to go. And that place is better in every way, with complete forgiveness, greater flourishing, more fruitful lives. So will we cry out for that free forgiveness through Jesus? Will we look forward to the future flourishing that is in Jesus? And now, will we find our fruitfulness in Jesus? Let's pray. Let's spend a moment just quietly bringing our hearts before the Lord and our response to his word in our hearts. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the spiritual realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in wonder and amazement at what you've done in him through his death on the cross, bringing this fulfillment to this passage, the free forgiveness that Jesus offers, the wonderful future flourishing that is in him, and the fruitfulness for our lives with you today. Help us to seek only him. In Jesus' name, amen.